water from its mouth.
Amrutamaya.
Amritamaya.
As good as nectar.
As good as nectar.
Gavastibhi.
Gavastibhi.
The rays of the moon.
By the rays of the moon.
Swadhayati.
Swadhayati.
Is giving me pleasure.
Is giving me pleasure.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Translation by Prabhupada's mind is Srila
Prabhupada.
After perceiving the moonshine, Maharaja Bharat continued speaking like a crazy person. He said, "The dear son was so submissive and dear to me that due to his separation, I am feeling separation from my own son. Due to the burning fever of this separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. Seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. In this way, the moon is bringing me happiness." Purport. According to Ayurvedic treatment, it is said that if one has a high fever, someone should splash him with water after gargling this water. In this way, the fever subsides. Although Bharat Maharaja was very aggrieved due to the separation of his so-called son, the deer, he thought that the moon was splashing gargled water on him from its mouth, and that this water would subdue his high fever, which was raging due to separation from the deer.
Then later he said, it's even like
sun. Yesterday it was talked about child, even though born blind, the parents will call him Padmalochana. That is due to blind love. One thing to be cautious about is we should not look down upon Maharaj Bharat, because we don't know when our turn will come, when we fall victim for the illusory effect of Maya Devi. We should try to look at the exalted position of Maharaj Bharat. How, as Master Mahaprabhu was pointing out, devotees falling down from such an exalted position could be due to Vaishnava Prat and also due to the will of the Lord. So, with that information in the background, the words that are describing Maharaj Bharat looks like he is a crazy person, madman, too much attached for a deer. So, we should have high regard for Maharaj Bharat and learn lessons from this particular pastime. Now, the 24th verse talks about how his vision is further and further and further, making him see the deer in every object that he is looking at. If we have intense love for a person, we start looking at that, trying to see the image of that person in every object that we see. Here, he, Maharaj Bharat, is looking at the moon and there are dark marks there. But he is saying that these marks in the moon is looking like that of a footprint of a deer, which resembles a deer. He said, Maharaj Bharat continued to speak like a madman, seeing above his head the dark marks on the rising moon, which resembles a deer. He said, can it be that the moon was so kind to an unhappy man? So here we can see how the vision of Maharaj Bharat, which is meant to be focused on the Lord, is changed and is gone to a point that he is not seeing anything else except the deer. What an unwavering absorption. So that aspect we can learn. And this has to be imposed not on dear, but that Supreme Lord who is dear to every living entity. Shudram Sarva Bhutanam. So, exalted devotees, as they progress in their bhakti, they see Lord's hand, his footprints everywhere. We see in Lord Krishna's pastimes where things accrued when he is entering Vrindavan. Is that true? Accrued, I will see the footprints of the Lord, and it will trigger the remembrance of the Lord. Even other associates of the Lord who are in Vrindavan, when the Lord is away in Dwarka, there is a time where Krishna and Balaram, they will pacify Nanda Maharaj, said, now you should go back to Vrindavan and take care of the residents there, and we have to spend time with our parents here. So when Nanda Maharaj goes back, he actually sees the different places where the Lord was performing his pastimes, the footprints that he left, and that actually gives them remembrance of the Lord. Through that remembrance, they were sustaining themselves. Iti samskriti samskritya prana sandharayami aham. So remembering that, they continued their remembrance of the Lord, and that's how they sustained their life. So in this case, Bharat Maharaj is looking at every object that he's seeing clear as that. And then next we look at the theme of moon, which is giving cooling day. So here Maharaj Bharat is addressing moon as Bhagavan, the most powerful, Udupati, the moon. Here is the beauty where Maharaj Bharat is feeling that he is not able to protect the deer. Let someone else who is above me, let that person who is giving me protection, let that person take care of the deer as well. In some circumstances in our life, especially when still there are restrictions for traveling and all that, so we want to protect our dear and dear ones. Sometimes we can travel quickly, but now the situation is not so conducive for travel. We can, but so many restrictions. So then what we do is, it's beyond our power and control to go and be with our near and dear ones. In that case, we pray to someone who is near and dear to us and who is near and dear to every living being in this world. That is the Supreme Lord. I don't know how my parents will be taken care of, but they are being taken care of because the Lord is protecting them. So you have that faith despite your best efforts. At this point of time, you are not able to physically go and be with them and take care of them. So in this case, the only resort we have is to make our best efforts and pray to the Lord to protect the near and dear ones. This kind of praying for the well-being of someone else is called intercessory prayers. You pray for someone else's well-being, for their protection, and for them to restore their health. And this kind of prayer is called intercessory prayers. Bhagavatam begins with one such prayer where one mother is praying for the protection of her child. Who is that? Who is the mother who is praying for the protection?
I think he's praying for the baby.
Okay, good. Yeah, good knowledge. So one example is beginning with Pati Pati Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Nanyamva Abhayam Pashye Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. Who spoke this verse? Uttara. So she is praying for the well-being and protection of
Parikshit
Maharaj, who was attacked by the
Brahmastra
of Ashwatthama. Good. Thank you for helping me out. So this concept for the act of praying to somebody supreme and above us, then you don't have any other options left. You completely surrender. Pahi Pahi. So it is a sense of urgency. She is running towards the Lord. Pahi Pahi Maha Yogin Deva Deva Jagatpate. So you are the supreme protector. As in the Gita says, he is the Shubhudam Sarva Bhutanam. He is the well-wisher friend, protector. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami tvam sucha. Do not fear. So that person who bestows fearlessness, he was right next to Uttara. So she was running and urging, pleading the Lord to protect. So we can imbibe such kind of urgency to protect the near and dear ones. The most important thing is to take complete shelter of the Lord. What is the other example you gave, Mahi? Aditi praying for to the Aditi praying to the demigods.
Yeah,
to
Lord Vishnu for the protection of his sons, the demigods.
Oh, okay. So Aditi praying to Lord Vishnu for the protection of her sons. Okay, yes. So here is another example of how we understand that the Lord is the supreme protector, and I still am attached to my sons, but I am giving up that sense that I can protect my sons, and I am giving up that sense of ownership over my sons, as Bhakta Prabhu was mentioning. The sons or daughters are given to us by the Lord, and they are His property, and we are taking care of them. So for their protection and well-being, again we approach the Lord. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshaya. Whatever way, if mind is fixed on Krishna, that's best. So if the danger is there for your own siblings or your own parents or your own brothers and sisters, or for your own spouse, then at that time you approach the Lord. Such people who approach the Lord, as the Lord calls, they are pious people. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritinam arjuna atto jignyasu atarti jnani cha varam darshaka. Four types of people approach me. Who are they? One who is in distress. So what is the example of one who is in distress who approached the Lord?
Gajendra.
Gajendra, good. So one who wanted wealth, who approached the Lord? Who is the Guru Maharaj? Okay.
Who is
inquisitive? Who are the inquisitive ones? Who are the inquisitive ones? Sages of Naimisharanya. Okay, hold on. Who is the last one? One who is seeking knowledge. Who is that? The four Kumaras. We have one, two are missing today. So, all our glorious Krishna encourages. So, is it? Will such prayers not come under the jurisdiction of pure devotional service? No. It still does. As soon as Dhruva Maharaj sees the Lord, Sthana Vilashi Tapasi Sthitoham. My motive was not pure when I approached you. Sthana Vilashi Tapasi Sthitoham. I approached you for a position which is that of greater than that of Lord Brahma. Sthana. That position, that was my abhilash. Tapasya, for that I did tapasya. Sthana abhilashi tapasya sthitoham. Tvam praptavan deva munendra guhyam. You, my dear Lord, for such motivated prayers, for I didn't have pure intention, even with that, I approached you. Tvam praptavan deva munendra guhyam. So even those who are doing austerities and penances, for many years you are still not reachable for them. You are like a secret. Kacham vichinkan akidivya ratnam. So I was looking for a broken piece of glass. My motive was not pure. But what have I got? Akidivya ratnam. I got the most precious jewel, which is you. Kacham vichinkan akidivya ratnam. Swamin krita arta asmi varam na yache. Now I am completely satisfied, completely fulfilled. I don't need anything else. Krita arta asmi. I am completely satisfied. And that is what the Lord is capable of giving, that cooling effect. So with that we get the encouragement to approach the Lord even if we have material desires, motives for the well-being and protection of our kith and kin, our close relatives. Because He is the one who can see what we cannot see, and He is the one who is near and dear to those who are near and dear to us. He is sitting as Paramatma in the heart of everyone. So, after having done the best we can from our own duty point of view, then after that we pray to the Lord and ask Him to protect them. That is the best kind of protection that you can expect, the protection that you can give, because you cannot be the near and dear ones, your children or wife or brother or sister, mother, but who is very near and dear to them? Shulam Sarvabhutanam, and He is also situated in the heart of every living being. Sarvasya Chaham, Hridi Sanhi Vistro. So, that protection, that words of reassurance acts like moon rays, which cools us. After having that, your best, you leave the rest to the Lord and you continue praying. He is the one who can give the actual shelter. Mother Lakshmi, when she is doing this prayer to Lord Rishikesha, she will say that anyone who thinks that another living being can give them protection, she will sing from a female point of view. Any female who thinks that another Purusha or a male can give her protection, she is in illusion. Only the Lord can give the ultimate protection. It's in 5:18. So, when we talk about illusion, coming back to Bharat Maharaj, he is thinking that he can protect the deer. He is thinking that he can take care of it for the rest of his life. And in that moha or illusion, he has misplaced his affection. Being affectionate is not wrong. But thinking that I can take care or I can protect a living being for the rest of the life, so that is where the illusion comes into picture. We have to be compassionate. This affection of Bharat Maharaj towards the deer is a classic example of a misplaced affection. Now, does it mean that we take up the philosophy of Mayavadis and think that everything is false, the affection you have with the other living being is also false. Your father, mother, every living entity is also false. So give up affection, give up relationship, and take up sannyas, because that's how the philosophy of Shankaracharya explained that you cannot understand philosophy until and unless you give up family ties. So that kind of renunciation we are not recommending. We are not denying the genuine affection that living entity has for another living entity. So we are not that kind of we are not engaging everybody to sever or cut your affection to anyone and everyone around you. But what we are saying from the Vaishnava point of view, we understand the Siddhanta clearly that every living entity is part and parcel of the Lord, and you are also part and parcel of the Lord. So your affection for other living entity should be based on the fact that the other living entity is also part and parcel of the Lord. So that is how you move above the Kanishka platform of looking at you and the deity, you and the Lord, but you move to the next platform where you see and show affection and kindness towards other living entities, other Vaishnavas, and for that matter any living being. So you extend your vision broadens. But that is the Vaishnava understanding as to how you show love and affection with the proper vision, saying that here's the living entity, this is also this or it or he or she is also part and parcel of the Lord. So I will show my affection with not losing the bigger picture, not thinking that I alone can protect it. That's one extreme, or I will reject everything and I will not show any affection, because compassion, love, that's a natural emotion of the soul. We are not there to deny it, and at the same time not become sentimental and think that I can protect all living beings at all times and circumstances. So that has to be given up. Then what is the right way of doing it? Will I miss out if I give all my love and affection towards Krishna? So for that fear that if I repose my love and affection only towards Krishna, then I will not show my love and affection to others. So that we need to have proper understanding of the philosophy. In the verse which describes pure devotional service, what is that verse? Who would like to say? Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Dhyana Karma Adi Anavrutam Anukritena Krishna. So let's pause there. Krishna. So in that Krishna, who are all included in that word Krishna? So in that word Krishna, it's only because if you give your affection exclusively to Krishna, that's what the verse is talking about, which means should I not give affection to others, or am I missing out on that? So it's explained that Krishna includes all other Vishnu Tattvas also, isn't it? Yeah. So the word Krishna includes all other Vishnu Tattvas. And also, from understanding point of view, the word Krishna also includes his expansions. And who are the living entities? They are also marginal expansions of the Lord. So that is how we understand philosophically that by putting my affection to Lord Krishna, all other, my affection to all other living entities are also being taken care of. This is in addition to physically doing the needful. After having philosophically understood Yugas is really needful by doing whatever is required for a suffering person, one who is in need. But you do it with this understanding that I am just a medium and I'm doing it. You can do it at different levels, at the level of duty or out of affection and so on. When you show affection, that affection should be with this understanding. So then you will not get entangled. That's what Krishna describes in the 18th chapter. If you act in consciousness of me, you will pass over all the tests. Tests will come, but you will pass over it if you are conscious of me. So, this is how we clarify the misunderstanding that if I exclusively put my love and affection to Krishna, I am missing out on showing love and affection towards other living entities. So it's not the case. So we dispel that myth. Another even Shastri gave it in Prabhupada oftentimes quotes is that So by watering the root, every branch and leaf and twigs are taken care of. And by feeding food to the stomach, every part of the body gets nourished. So, by philosophically understanding also, we can overcome the heat which is produced by the material energy. It's by understanding the mercy of the Lord, by you engaging in the service of other living entities with this understanding, with this removing the misconception and having a philosophical understanding, that also helps us overcome the burning effect of the material existence. This knowledge comes to us by the mercy of the spiritual master, whose protection, as you all said, is compared to that of a cloud which pours water on a burning fire of material existence. And that's what the 25th verse talks about, is to overcome the fever. So the remedy, as per Ayurveda, is that a person gargles water and spits on the person who has got fever. Now, the words coming out from the mouth of the spiritual master are like that water which is falling on the feverish person like me, whose condition he doesn't have to, he can, I would consider it mercy if he spits water on me. But more than that, that's why we take the remnants of the spiritual master. The fact that you touch their feet, you take the remnant means you are so pure, you are so powerful that a speck of dust from your lotus feet, the remnants that you have left in your plate, that itself can purify me. And more than that, I don't have that opportunity, what do I do? If I am in a far distance from my Guru, then the words emanating from his lotus mouth, that has the purifying effect on our consciousness. And that is also considered as a cooling effect. So many times when we are stuck and we don't know what direction to go, and when the heat is rising, at that time, as Arjuna did, Shisha Sayam Shalimam Tvam Prapannam, then, smiling in the mist, Krishna, the words came out of Krishna's mouth. So the words coming out of their mouth could be shocking, but that's the remedy. person who is in the feverish condition. The spiritual master is also a representative of none other than Lord Krishna, yes. Sakshat Haridvayana, yes. In the Panchatattva, who is representing Buddha, yes, Nityananda. So, this song on Nityananda Prabhu, which talks about the cooling effect, what is that song? Nithai Pada Kamalam, Koti Chandra, Sushitalam. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda is like that of a 10 million. So I remember Bhaktisar Maharaj giving this seminar on Ramayana, where he began by establishing that all our moons, Rama Chandra, Krishna Chandra, Gaura Chandra. I remember that distinctly, where he established the fact that every incarnation is giving that cooling effect. Rama Chandra, Krishna Chandra, Gaura Chandra. Here we are talking about Nithai Chandra. Nithai Parakamalam, Koti Chandra, Shushitalam, Echaya Jagata Chudaya. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda is very soothing, like that of 10 million moons. So, we'll read a little bit from Srila Prabhupada's purport on this particular song. Kamala means lotus and Pada means feet. And they are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. These are Prabhupada's words. We can just imagine the aggregate total value of the soothing shine of millions of moons. In this material world, jagat, which is progressing towards hell, there is always a blazing fire. And everyone is struggling hard without finding peace. Therefore, if the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, which are cooling like the shining of a million moons. So, unquote. So a lot of time, when we want to make decisions, we need to have a cool head. Right? When we're agitated when we make decisions, so that leads us to bad effects, bad reactions. So to prevent that, when we are so agitated, for us to cool down, these set of prayers help. We can make it a regular practice where we can sing these prayers, trying to look up another prayer of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Chandrasya Nama Dvadashakam. So the 12 names of the moon-like Nityananda Prabhu. This is from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So we'll conclude with this prayer. We can all sing or recite this prayer to Lord Nityananda. Nityanando avatu tendhur,
Nityanando avatu tendhur,
Vasudha prana vallabha,
Vasudha prana vallabha,
Janavi jivita bhati,
Janavi jivita bhati,
Krishna prema prada prabhu,
Krishna prema prada prabhu,
Padmavati sutaha,
Padmavati sutaha,
Sriman Satchinandana Purvaja,
Sriman Satchinandana Purvaja,
Bhavan Matto Jagatrata
Bhavan Matto Jagatrata
Rakta Gaura Kaleva
Rakta Gaura Kaleva.
Okay, so let's look at the meaning word to word. Nityananda, the word means he who embodies eternal bliss. Interesting, the word Avadhut is used for who? Lord Nityananda. And he, being intoxicated with his divine love, he also acts like a man, Avadhut. So that's what the second word in the prayer means. Avadhuta means the moon of divine man. He is also man, but in a divine sense. And he is the moon of the divine madman. Vasudha Rama Pallava, the beloved of the life breath of Vasudha. Vasudha Rama Pallava. The second, next is Janavi Jivita Pati, the husband enthusing Janavi with life. Janavi Jivita Pati. So he can enthrone Janavi with life. He can do that for us also if we take shelter of him. Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu. The master, the Prabhu, the Lord and Master of the devotees, what he does? He bestows ecstatic love for Krishna. Krishna Prema Prada. He bestows ecstatic love for Krishna. The next one, Padmavati. So that means the dear son of Padmavati. Then the word Sriman is used. Sriman means he of splendorous transcendental majesty. He who has got transcendental splendorous majesty. Sriman Sachi Nandana Purvaja, the older brother of mother Sachi. Sachi Nandana Purvaja. Bhavon Mata. He who is maddened in overwhelming ecstatic emotions. Bhavan Mata. Interesting to see how Bharat Maharaj is also in the Bhava platform. And he is also. At this point, instead of being mad after Lord Krishna, unfortunately he is mad after dear Bhavan Mata. That is, Lord Nityananda is he who is maddened in overwhelming ecstatic emotions. Jagat Trata, the savior of the whole universe. Jagat Trata. Now comes the description of the complexion. Rakta Gaura Kalevara. He whose complexion is golden, tinged with red. Okay, who would like to hear the Halastuti of one who recites this prayer every day in the morning? That person who recites these 12 auspicious holy names of the moon-like Nityananda Chandra every day upon arising in the morning, such a person becomes free from all difficulties and attains all their most cherished desires. Very soon they become the object of Lord Chaitanya Deva's mercy. Sri Nityananda Chandrasya Nama Dvadakshakam Shubham Yat Yahidam Pratyaham Prata Prati Uthaya Patam Nada Asakyesha Rahito Bhutva Prahumya Swamamodatam Purnam Chaitanya Devasya Karuna Bhajanam Bhave. So conclude by reciting the prayer again. Nityanando Bhavatu Tendur
Nityanando
Prema Prada Prabhu
Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu.
Ciao.